Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. This morning's episode is entitled, Where Sin Abounded, Grace Superabounded to the Glory of God. It is imperative that believers once again claim the rich heritage of our spiritual history. And it is imperative that believing ones once again study the Word of God. It is deplorable that we live in a culture that has sought to water down the Word of God so as to make it not merely unpalatable, unrecognizable, but also make the Word of God completely irrelevant. And I say this because of my experience in some institutions. The new code word is interfaith. Interfaith. And so when I did chaplaincy work, we were told that we were doing chaplaincy, we were practicing chaplaincy from an interfaith perspective or viewpoint. And it was, we were told that we were not to engage in proselytizing individuals who were sick for our particular denomination, which is very interesting, because I thought, and I found in my experience in chaplaincy, that the individuals to whom I ministered had many, many questions about faith, many questions about sin, many questions about God. And so, whereas chaplaincy, that is, those who were in charge of chaplaincy for this particular institution, were engaged or committed to the interfaith perspective, the individuals with whom I ministered and to whom I ministered were interested in the Word of God, their relationship with God. So, one gentleman had a burning question. He had been in the Navy all of his life. And this particular man knew he was dying. And he told me he wanted to know that he had everything right with God. And so I let him tell me exactly what he meant and what he thought about his need. So this man talked about sin, the sin question. And he did not ask me there to be a religious counselor. He wanted to know about sin. Now, the Bible says some very powerful things about this term, sin, a term that has course not in Western theology, but nevertheless, that the abandonment does not eradicate or make sin go away. Sin does not disappear because a group of individuals have said, well, we won't talk about sin. We won't talk about grace. We won't talk about God. In Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about this very question of sin. And beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, therefore, being justified, that is, made right with God by faith. In the Greek, the term faith or pistis is a noun of action. Paul writes, we have, by being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the sin question had been dealt with by Christ through his death on the Roman gibbet in 33 AD. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice and hope in the glory of the glory of God. And so, not only is the term faith or pistis a noun of action, the term charis or grace is also a noun of action. Paul states in verse 2 that we stand in grace. We are saved by grace. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This term grace is extraordinarily powerful and rich. Very, very important. And notice, and rejoice and hope to the glory of God. I love doxis, the Greek word for glory. I also love the Hebrew word for glory, kabod, which means the weight of God. Isn't that beautiful? The weight of God, the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, so also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. This is the essence of the biblical message. Christ died on behalf of the ungodly. Now, in the postmodern West, this would be seen as a negative action and an ungodly a negative term. That is, denying the essential, the intrinsic reality of the human condition. And please understand that these people are very serious in their pseudo-psychological recipes or algorithms in which they want to cast human behavior and tell the world that this is the only approach, this is the exclusive approach to understanding the human condition, that is, from a psychological perspective. And many of these individuals who believe this suffer year after year after year. Or they are extraordinarily medicated, and then they find out that the synapses begin to wear down and out because there are these competing chemicals for the synapses, and individuals suffer. But this is information you are not going to hear about a great deal. You won't hear this. And on the other hand, there are individuals who have come to confess their need for a Savior. And when these individuals do accept Christ, their drug addiction disappears. Their sexual addiction disappears. When the conversion experience is real, not a fraudulent, emotional confession, but a real encounter with God, the Holy Spirit, who changes lives. God said, "Behold, I make all things new." I'm going to skip over to verse 19 of chapter 5. We read, which reads, "For by one man's disobedience," speaking of the first Adam, "many were made sinners." That term sinner, sinners in Greek, is an adjective, not a noun. "So by the obedience of one," that is speaking of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus, "shall many be made righteous," that is have a right standing before God. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Now, sin has had a very destructive history in the human condition. Sin and incredible abuses, incredible sorrow, hurt, and ruin can be found in the way of sin, the path of sin, wasted lives, ruined lives, compromised lives, shattered lives because of sin. Sin, in the definition of sin, is any lack of conformity to the character of God, whether it be an act, disposition, or a state. And so this is a very powerful reality. Now, Paul writes, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound," which is interesting because in the Greek it reads that grace superabounded and then some more on top of that. Grace superabounded and some more on top of that. God won this battle over sin through Christ. Where sin abounded, where sin reigned, grace superabounded, and then some more on top of that. See, God superwon the fight over sin. And you and I, as believing ones, must confess this in our lives, that we have victory over sin. We have victory over spiritual death. We have victory over our flesh. We are to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. Please read Romans chapter 5 and 6. If you don't read the entire chapter, in chapter 6, Paul writes, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, and you should obey it in the lusts thereof." Paul does not talk about a sin nature. That is not found in the New Testament. The believers is with his sarx, his flesh. The Bible does not talk about a sin nature. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments," that is, and the word here in the Greek is hopla, that is, instruments of war, of unrighteousness unto sin. You see that? "But yield yourself that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments," that is the hopla, that is the weapons of war for God's purposes. Now, it is imperative that believing ones understand what God has done, and where sin abounded, grace superabounded to the glory of God. You have victory in your life, ultimate victory over sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.